I'm Michelle Banger, Managing Editor of Quality. I'm here with America Makes Executive Director John Wilczynski. So welcome, John. Thanks for joining us today.
Hello, Michelle. Thanks for having me.
Sure. So we want to talk to you about the pandemic and manufacturing. So in your work, what have you seen has been the impact of the pandemic on manufacturing in the U.S.?
I think overall, it's had a dramatic impact, just like it has on really across the entire globe and economy. But we've seen it vary depending on what type of manufacturing industry that you're participating in. Early on, obviously, there was immediate disruptions and dramatic disruptions, no matter what industry you were involved with, mainly due to shutdowns. But as you saw, folks understand the situation a little bit better and put together safe protocols to operate in, you saw some manufacturers come back. And in some cases, like additive manufacturing, you saw a community rally together to try to help support the need that they were seeing around them in their communities. And, you know, really it was just a situation where everyone was coming together to try to help. It was then focused on how do we coordinate that effort so we were doing something meaningful.
Great. And so you touched on this a little bit, but so how did the pandemic disrupt supply chains and how did it affect sourcing? Could you talk to that a little?
So, you know, it affected, you know, all supply chains immediately. You know, it was about a year ago, March 2020, when everything, specifically in the United States, really saw the impacts. And at that point in time, there were, you know, effectively stop works put in place because we weren't sure if it was safe to have people operating in a manufacturing environment. So that had very significant and immediate impacts. Obviously, air travel was dramatically, and in some cases, completely shut down for a period of time. That led to, you know, the reality that our world operates mostly in a just-in-time manner. There's not significant product within the pipeline to keep it moving forward. That led to us seeing disruptions across the supply chain, and most notably, within the medical community, as we started to understand or maybe realize our dependence on foreign sources, we started to see, you know, without travel and without transportation, there was not a means to get those products to where we needed them here, specifically in the US. And we saw that immediately lead to an impact literally within days. So, you know, and it depends on your situation or depends on your industry, but you know, ultimately everyone was affected very quickly and abruptly by it.
Yeah, that's for sure. And so with your work, have you seen a connection with the pandemic and interest in additive manufacturing?
Absolutely. We've honestly seen a, you know, I think we collectively as an industry have been busier than ever in trying to see where the technology fits in and where we can make an impact. And we, I mean the community at large, and that's everyone from the manufacturing community to makers to students. We saw everyone coming together, but they were all faced with a challenge in that they were not necessarily familiar, and in most cases not familiar with what it took to make a product that could be used in a healthcare environment. So, you know, we saw a lot of interest, but that was quickly, you know, it wasn't halted, but we weren't sure how to take the next step at the time, specifically, again, early in the response.
And what's the situation like today, a year in?
It's significantly better. I think overall what we saw, there were, you know, one thing we did as soon as everything shut down is we started to reach out into our network. So I represent an organization called America Makes, and we are a national additive manufacturing innovation institute. And what that really means is we're a public-private partner who reaches across industry, academia, government, and tries to coordinate the technology. So I immediately, and our team immediately started to reach out to our networks and understand what the pandemic was doing, how it was affecting their situation. And we were, the response we saw was people raising their hand, wanting to get involved, ready to put resources, whether their technology, their people, their materials, all into play. But there were, we were all running into the same problem, you know, and we ultimately penned a letter to the commissioner of the FDA that called out some specific problems that we as a community were facing, and effectively keeping a latent capacity on the sidelines until we got these issues resolved. And we've seen that literally within a day. Again, there was a response from FDA. It led to a group of organizations at the VA, the FDA, and NIH coming together. And, you know, effectively what that has done is created an environment where there was some trust. There was an understanding of the process. People were able to go and look at resources to refer to those to determine when and where they could get involved. So we've seen it dramatically improve. We've also, I think as we're all aware, have seen the conventional manufacturing processes catch up. So this over the summer and into the fall, we've seen those conventional supply chains able to, in many cases, satisfy the need. There are still, you know, unique use cases where there are shortages, and there's still, you know, active work going on to try to address those issues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. And so with the various issues, are there certain things you think that are needed to enable more advanced manufacturing?
Absolutely. I think that there's a number of things that need to be looked at. You know, one, and some of this we've seen in recent executive orders that have come out through the current administration, where they're looking at, you know, supply chains as a whole, and more specifically critical supply chains. You know, that all first starts with an assessment, understanding of where we are today, what our capability is, you know, related to, or I guess against this specific need that we can identify. And then we need to put together a plan to take a specific action to improve that state, so that in the future, we're not faced with the same challenges that we were faced over the past year. So, you know, there are a number of activities taking place today. You know, we certainly encourage continued focus within those areas. Ultimately, our understanding of demand and prioritization are critical when trying to respond to a crisis, and our inability to have that information prevents the community, whether it's the manufacturing community or the maker response, from being able to address the problem as quickly and as efficiently as possible.
And so with this critical supply chains executive order that you mentioned, do you think the advanced manufacturing industry will benefit soon from it, or what? How do you think it will change things?
I certainly hope so. I think it depends on, like anything, depends on a number of things, but you know, there appears to be an interest, and there's certainly an understanding that what we have applied today are not suitable for times of crises. And we certainly have dependence on, you know, whether it's other countries or even within the U.S. We saw this be we realized this as a very regionalized fight. We need to, or response rather, we need to be able to put people, resources, processes in play in order to address those as, you know, quickly, in order to respond in a digitally distributed way. So I think there's a lot of people talking about it. You know, there's quite a bit of activity that we hear of, at least in legislation and different bills being evaluated and discussed. You know, ultimately that has to be realized, turned into, you know, something that is actionable, and then, you know, the community has to respond to that. So to, I guess my long-winded answer to that is, yes, I envision us seeing progress here. You know, I don't think this is in days or weeks, but rather in months, hopefully, we will start to see, you know, many of these current activities start to transition into progress that we can realize as a country.
Yeah, that sounds great. And so, yeah, as of now, in March 2021, are there certain things you think manufacturers should expect in the months ahead, or later this year?
I think so. There's a number of things to consider. So when you, one, look at advanced manufacturing, you may be thinking about different ways of manufacturing a good than we have produced them in the past. So I know particularly for additive manufacturing, in many cases, it was not the manufacturing process that was considered when a part was originally designed. So, you know, one other major obstacle of the current pandemic has been the understanding and dissemination of information around the regulatory landscape. So what should we be making? What are the rules of engagement? You know, what quality systems, et cetera, do you have that in place in order for a manufacturing to actually provide a good that somebody needs? So I see, you know, quite a bit of work in the regulatory space being considered. You know, that's one piece. Another is around workforce development. We've talked, you know, quite a bit over the last couple of years about a growing gap within the skilled workforce community. And I see that just getting larger and larger. And, you know, there's quite a bit of data to back that up. We saw that, you know, early in the pandemic where folks were, organizations were trying to respond, but they didn't have the workforce trained. So as you're introducing new manufacturing processes, you have to consider the associated workforce development that needs to be done. And this is something that we need to, you know, focus on. And I see this affecting manufacturers as they look to introduce new advanced manufacturing processes.
So I think those were the main questions I wanted to ask you, but is there anything else you want to mention or things you think our readers should know?
Yes, one final thing is, you know, we talked quite a bit about the pandemic and the response and what does it mean to be prepared as a country. And much of the work that we have been taking on at the Institute, and honestly, you know, there's many, many other folks engaged. There's a lot of great organizations and companies, industry, academia, and government working on this problem. But our opportunity really exists in how do we apply and learn from the past year, what we've gone through, you know, what did we learn about a clearer understanding of the regulatory landscape? You know, how do we disseminate that information for manufacturers? How do we ensure that we have a trained workforce in place? All of those learnings can help position us for, you know, prosperity and opportunity in the future to ensure that we have a resilient supply chain. So in times of normalcy, we're benefiting from the pain that everyone has gone through for the past year. We've learned from that ultimately is what we need to take away from this. And we need to put actionable programs into place so that we don't miss out on this opportunity. As painful as it has been, we've learned a lot. We now just need to make sure that we implement those learnings and they become kind of instilled in our process as we move forward.
Great. That all sounds good. Thanks again.
Good deal. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you, John. Take care. Goodbye. Bye.